Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. We have a lovely guest joining us today by the name of Michelle Bursell. Michelle is a psychotherapist and priestess who integrates the psychological with the spiritual through a feminine lens to enhance your well-being. She has certified therapists, coaches, and other professionals in her emotional empowerment modality worldwide, including Iceland, China, Denmark, Canada, and the United States, a lot of places. For over 20 years, Michelle has worked with individuals and couples, Fortune 500 companies, and media outlets, teaching an empowered, science-based approach to emotional well-being that honors your humanity as a pathway to your divinity. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Deanna. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here, too. I'm really interested in this concept of emotional empowerment. What was your journey to this, and what's the difference between it and emotional intelligence?
Okay, well, do you want the short version or the long version?
whichever direction this goes, I'm going with you.
Okay. So I was trained as a psychotherapist and learned every tool under the sun on how to get rid of my negative feelings. And this was the common training in clinical psychology. And so it really does not give people who are emotionally sensitive like me a break from really feeling like you have to constantly be chasing your tail to get rid of negative feelings, because when you're emotionally sensitive, you're feeling all the time. Now, statistically, we all are feeling all the time. I think a statistic of emotional intelligence is that we are experiencing 27 different emotions every hour, which is, so every waking hour, if we get 8 hours of sleep, that's 432 emotional states in a day. Wow. So it's just that the emotionally sensitive are more attuned to it. So here I was, I got my degree, and I was still struggling with a lot of negative feelings, and I felt like a fraud. And so this is where I was like, I had a practice and I just had this dark night of the soul where I was just like, I feel like a fraud. I can't do this anymore. This is great that I can help people to a degree, but if I don't understand the purpose as to why we feel the way we do, then I have no business helping people anymore. And I did not know what I was going to do with myself, because I invested a lot of money to get my degree in clinical psychology. And this was my passion. This is what I knew, but I did not feel right about that. And this is when I started getting these 4:30 AM wake up calls, with a voice in my head telling me to go to my computer and write. So this was many years ago, where I was not, it's not like today when we're on the computer all the time. I wouldn't go to my computer. And I'm like, so I'm fighting with this voice in my head, because my twin boys, who are now 20, this tells you how long ago it was. They were 11 months old, and I just got them sleeping through the night. And so here I'm hearing this voice telling me at 4:30 a.m. to go to my computer and write. And I'm like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. All I want to do is sleep for 4 hours straight. But the voice would not give in or not give up. And so I gave in and went to my computer. And for 9 months straight, at 4:30 in the morning, the voice told me to go to my computer and write. And this is when a download occurred, where I was getting that the manifestation of what I wanted, which was an understanding of why we feel the way we do. And what was coming through was not anything that I learned in getting my degree in clinical psychology. And it was really what I have now come to recognize is a divine feminine approach to receiving our emotions and learning the language of our feelings so that we are receiving them as tools to guide us and to empower us and to help us be aware of when our perceptions are clouded towards ourself or life so that we can realign back to our truth. So back to how does this differ from emotional intelligence? Emotional intelligence is still under this framework of we need to manage our emotions. And managing our emotions, again, especially if you're emotionally sensitive, is exhausting. And so we need to learn how to work with them and understand. I went from hating how emotionally sensitive I am to this being my greatest ally because now it's this constant direction guiding me to understand where things are off in my subconscious. And so our subconscious impacts so much of our perceptions, and that impacts our frequency, and that impacts energetically how we're showing up in the world. And so this has been so 27 years ago, that has been one of the most significant shifts in my life to really be able to understand a way to work with and utilize our emotions as a powerful gift.
So let me ask this. You were getting these messages at 4:30 in the morning. So I guess prior to that, were you raised religious or spiritual? Or did you have what was your background?
So I was raised Catholic, and then I had a, so and I had a grandmother who was Seventh-day Adventist. And so what that meant was on Saturdays, I would go to church with her, and her church was like the 8 a.m. to like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturdays. And then Sunday I would go to Catholic Mass. And I loved it. I was always very into God, Jesus, and so I was very into it. Was like a Eucharistic minister. What thought I was going to raise my family Catholic, but during this time, a few years before when I was getting my degree in clinical psychology, I really opened up to more of the spiritual world. And doing that was very scary because it was everything told me like you can't do this. This is the devil's work, and all that. And so one of my most profound experiences with that was with a shaman, and she read my chakras and knew aspects about me that I was like, whoa. And it felt so true to me. That's when I knew I had a choice. Do I listen to what I've been told about God, or do I listen to my heart and how I feel closer to the divine through this path? And I just have kept trusting my heart, and it's led to many explorations of all religions, Buddhism, Taoism, Islam, the goddesses, and energy and so forth. And so I love being a student of spirituality.
So when you heard this voice in your head, who did you think it was?
Good question. It's you and I have talked before, and I know you like hear and see and like really have this communication. I just hear a voice, and I trust that it's a divinely guided voice. And so I don't see anybody, but it's that whisper. And I think the reason why I can trust it is because we all do on some level. It's that same whisper that says to us, like, you're about to go to bed and like, oh, you forgot to call your mom and you told her you would. It's that whisper that says, you know, did you lock the door? So whatever we call our intuition, and if we're being guided by, is it our spirit guide or you know, what that connection is, for me, I knew it was a trustworthy voice.
So the information that was initially coming through, what was your response to it? You said you trusted it, but obviously it must have been different than what you were taught from school. So was there any hesitancy or was there any doubt or any questioning at the beginning?
Yes. So at first, I was literally just allowing the downloads to come through. I was just typing, and I was just, and it was 4:30 in the morning. I would type for about an hour. I would go back to bed at 5:30 because my kids would be up at like 6:30. So I'm like, I can get another hour, and so that continued. And about month five, I was like, whoa, like I could start to see everything come together because I did not know what this was. I was just being the I was just following the guidance. I was just trusting it and just being, you know, the good student that's showing up. And it's like, okay. But here was the turning point for me because I couldn't make sense of it when the download I got was about anxiety. And it was guiding me to understand how our anxiety is there to teach us how to come back to greater inner peace. And it worked on me. I was like, oh, there's something here because no one has ever told me how my anxiety is guiding me to come, how to come back to my inner peace, how to reclaim that from within, and showing me all the things that are going off that's taking me away from my inner peace. And so I was the guinea pig. And then I had a few clients, because I was like, okay, I'm going to try this out on them. And word of mouth spread. Next thing you know, I'm teaching other therapists in this modality because they're like, Michelle, if I'm going to be honest with you, like, I feel pretty good, but I've got my own anxiety. And when anxious people come to me, I don't know how to do it. And so this empowered approach was really something that was expansive for a lot of people. And so that's where it all started to take off, where people really started to say, this is working for me as well.
Was there any, and you know, we do hear a lot about anxiety today, especially. People are, and even though we may not have called it anxiety a long time ago, people, you know, have had this feeling for a very long time for whatever reason. Did you have any initial resistance to looking at anxiety that way? Did you think that doesn't make any sense or that makes the most sense?
For me, when it worked, I was like, I'm in. So and I think because during my clinical psychology program, it was very clear to me that the tools to quote unquote get rid of my negative feelings worked in the short term, but in the long term, I was back with myself. And so at the same time as when I saw the shaman and she's reading things about me that was not being covered over here. And this is when really a big part of my premise of that the spiritual and the emotional are meant to be integrated for us to really go on this journey of self-gnosis, of knowing ourselves, because in knowing ourselves, we will really come to love ourselves, and then we can be more of that love in the world when we're giving ourselves that self-love and compassion. And so it was seeing for myself, like the shaman was amazing because she brought out awareness of aspects in my chakras I had was not aware of, but she could only bring awareness to it. She couldn't help me process the emotions. The emotional piece was important. But I needed a different lens than how do I manage these the rest of my life or get rid of them. So for me, when it all clicked, I was like, I'm all in. At the same time, understanding that the way I'm built is not how everybody else is built. And so I'm not trying to say this is everybody's remedy for anxiety or any of their negative feelings. We're built in different ways. We have aspects to ourselves that are stronger for us. For me, as an emotional and spiritual person, this was the right fit. And this is who I tend to work with today, are people who are emotionally sensitive and also spiritual.
Do you find that with this process that you've been implementing for some time for even yourself and clients, do you still have those negative feelings or emotions come up as often, or are they?
Never, never, Deanna. I never have enough to do it. Like, this is the funny thing, because we do want them. But I think I hear what you're saying. I am so much less emotionally reactive. For the and knock on wood, I'm a pretty peaceful person. At the same time, I'm grateful. When my negative feelings arise, because I know how to work with them, because they are guiding me. So things still go, can go wrong in life. I was dealing with a team member who wasn't getting something right, and there was frustration, there was anger. But it's not me taking it out on the person. It's me recognizing why is this emotion coming up? What is it calling me to step into that I'm hesitant to, so that I can show up in alignment with my truth? And when we do that, we're just much more clear, where people can connect with us, understand us. It's kind of like, I get people saying to me, like, you're just so, like, forward, and honest with this. And it's refreshing. And it's like, well, yeah, because I don't want to hold on to something that isn't working for me, and I want to give you the opportunity to change it, because I believe in you and I know that you can. And so it's rather than going into all these other stories that we go into. So again, it really comes from this empowering place for both people, which I think a lot of people appreciate.
I think also, and you can totally correct me, it almost sounds like it involves some form of radical honesty with yourself.
Oh my
You know,
goodness.
and I think people are very scared to go there when you're having these habitual negative feelings.
Yeah, that's the tough part, because I've worked with a lot of people who have been suicidal, and this was kind of like their last, like, thing, and that they're turning to for support. And my first thing I'm asking them to do is to go into the depression. And they're like, Michelle, I'm depressed all the time. You can't ask me to do that. I said, no. The way you're feeling this way, because you're running away from it. You're trying to run from it. That's all you're doing, is escape, trying to escape it. And that's exhausting. When we go in, we're going to find some insight, some wisdom, some why this is occurring, that will then empower you to shift it. So it's always scary at first for people, and that's why you want someone that can really be that support for you, because it is very, it's uncharted territory for us. But I have found it through this process that there is always wisdom. And again, I don't want to make an umbrella statement that this is, for everybody, but again, the people that this resonates, that this aligns with their values, how they work, it has been, it's really been a massive shift in their understanding of self.
So you've worked with people from all over the world, teaching, emotional empowerment. What has the reception been like across different cultures?
I mean, emotions are universal, so that's the beauty. Everyone has been able to speak English, because unfortunately, I don't know the other languages. But even if it wasn't their first language, they were still able to take in, because I think, especially again, I attract people who are emotionally sensitive. They're coming from the heart, so we're always tapping back into that place. And you don't need a lot of words sometimes to really get that. And I think just for people, it's really taking things where I think so many people right now are working so hard on their mental health and they're going to therapy, and we need this, and that's we want to have that insight. And at some point, we've got to embody it. At some point, it's got to be, we've got to bring awareness into our hearts. And that's what this work is about. That's why the integration of the spiritual and the emotional helps us do that.
And okay, you've helped people at Fortune 500 companies. So how does this apply in I'm into like a corporation where there's a bunch of negative feelings everywhere all the time?
Yes. So I do not go into the spiritual aspect in corporations because I've got to respect people are all, that what their spiritual beliefs are. And I'm open to every spiritual belief. So I would not want to, limit that or make people feel limited by that in any way. How I come in, though, I will challenge corporate world, and I use the word love and expansiveness, and so I was definitely coming from that framework. What I'll say is that yes, there's a lot of ne negative feelings in corporate world, and the people I've experienced want to know a better way. They want to do better for themselves. And so what's interesting is that a lot of my hires who hired me in the Fortune 500 would be a lot of HR people. They were getting, the gamut of people's emotions going sideways, and they were like, please help. And I'm like, absolutely. And most people want to do better for themselves. They just haven't been shown a way. And so this really resonated for people because I, especially in all my trainings, I kind of give people this cheat sheet of like, here's what I wouldn't do when you're experiencing anxiety, or if it's a different emotion, anger. Here's my things of what not to do because it's just going to amplify it. And then here's my list of things that you can do that's going to support you, that's going to help you realign with your truth in that moment, because each emotion has a different signal of how it's guiding you to realign back to yourself. And again, I think because our emotions are universal and in many ways, it resonated for people, whether it was employees, leaders, they were like, I get it. And so just having that kind of insight, I mean, I don't want to be braggadocious or anything, but there was one person that said, Michelle, this training was better than 6 months of therapy. And I'm like, well, yeah, because you're finally learning how to receive rather than, fight what you're feeling. So I think it's just a different perspective that people haven't known about. And so anything that allows them to kind of turn on that light and be like, oh, I don't have to fight myself so much, I think is a relief for people.
Definitely. And I think I'd like to also kind of understand how did priestess becoming a priestess like come into your life? At what point, did you explore that or how did that come to
Oh.
your awareness? I would love to hear about that journey.
Oh, it's a journey. So basically, I had some deeper work to do. I would say my spiritual ego got a little big, and the goddess said, okay, like you are not going to be. You're not showing up in entirety as we need you to, and so she led me in, and so there was just some deeper work to be done where it was more of really that there's a seven lower chakras that that we also have besides, we have multitude of chakras. People mainly know the main seven, but there's seven lower chakras that are really this descent process that I needed to go through, that she was not going to have it any other way. If you've ever experienced that you're hitting your head against a wall, that no matter what you do, it's not working, it's probably a call by the divine feminine telling you that there's deeper work to be done. And so I went on a very impactful journey. So it's a slow process of where you start to become untethered from the things that your ego uses to prop you up, is the best way, or the things that my ego is doing to prop me up. And to really understand that that's not me, and to really come back to inner self-worth, inner knowingness. That has been the most difficult path I've ever had to traverse, and the most rewarding. It's one of those that you don't wish on people, but you do wish the other side of it for them. And that's what she led me through. And so it started with Mary Magdalene, and then it turned into what others may refer to as more dark goddesses. But I've known, I have worked with quote unquote the dark god, one of the dark goddesses, because that's where I've been taking people. And so it was also an initiation to really know my relationship, especially with Morgana, because when people are ready to go into their descent, she supports me in helping bring forward emotions that they're not even aware that they're experiencing. I can feel them. I can, and she helps me discern between their ego and their truth to help them come back into alignment with themselves. So there was initiations by her, Hecate, Lilith, and loving, very loving, which was very, they are, and here's the thing about dark goddesses. To me, they are beyond love, what we understand love to be oftentimes, or how we relate to love, because they are willing to be your worst enemy in order that you show up in your truth. Like they're the hard coach, they're the but they are doing it out of so much love, and they don't care that you're like how you're thinking of them. They're like, I'm willing to be this, and I'll hold you to it because I know the love that you ultimately are. So yes, there was a lot of initiations, but I'm so grateful for that. And there was also a lot of holding. I had Mother Mary hold me, like my feet to the fire in all my fears. And she just looked at me compassionately, saying, "It's not real. It's not real. It's not real." So, yes, a lot of initiations, but a lot of support to really go to where I needed to go.
So, what did the initial call look like for people like who are interested in really understanding this? I'll just call it like the call of the divine feminine at the beginning, because I know you said, you know, this was kind of like egomania for a little bit. So, what did it look like for them to reach out beyond the veil to work on this with you in a personal
Yeah.
way?
Well, and I'll say, like, on the outside, I don't, it probably didn't look egomania to everyone like we think of it, because it was more spiritual ego. It was more the ways that we uphold ourselves spiritually as spiritually superior. That's more subtle than like the ego Does that make sense? Then,
Yeah,
like, the
no,
ego
it makes
ways.
complete sense.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
understand.
It's not like, look at me, I'm making money. It wasn't like that. It was more like, look at me, I can have these profound meditations and connections, and not even look at me, but I thought I was special because I could have those connections and help people that way. And it was like, and I never verbalize that, but it would kind of come off in my energy,
Yeah.
so it was like, we need to fine-tune this so you can get real and come back to the love and remembrance of us all, and that we're all, yes, uniquely gifted, and we are all the same, and so forth. And so, I'm sorry, what was your question?
No, it's No, I was just kind of curious what it looked like for you, for them, for I'll just, for everybody's purposes, like the goddess realm, if you will, to show up in your life, maybe unannounced or unexpected, to help you in this area.
Yes. So I was hitting walls. So what was happening was I was using the external to prove my worth, how I helped people and how good I was at that and all that. And the ways that I thought I was supposed to expand, I kept hitting walls, and I kept hitting walls, and like things weren't working anymore. It's like, what's going on? And so that's what was happening in the physical. And then spiritually, Mary Magdalene just kept popping up. It was somebody mentioning her, a new book that was out, like, when you get those hits, and it's just kind of like, and I'm a very good listener, that I will say, I'm a good listener. And so I listened, and I just followed the breadcrumbs, followed the trail. And so that led me into a priestess program that not only studies Mary Magdalene, but also a whole realm of different goddesses, and to really understand them, and from how they are here to support us and help us to know ourselves in our fullness. And so it was really powerful the ways, from a spiritual lens, that you can start to tap into some of the subconscious beliefs, limitations, as well as gifts and strengths that we have.
So would you say, and I don't know the timeline here, but would you say there was potential for the goddess realm to be the voice in your head when you were
Oh.
writing about the emotional empowerment?
Oh. So I was not totally I was not in it, to me that was, I think now it was. I think it definitely was the divine feminine. At that time, I did not know. It was just a voice. It was just a guidance that I was receiving. But from everything that I have learned and integrated, I really feel this is a divine feminine way of knowing our emotional selves. It's just, it hasn't been taught to us. We've really tried to turn our emotions into this thing that we can control in a way that actually takes away our power. And so many people are like, if I'm in a bad mood, let me just shift my mood and dance and whatever. And that's wonderful. I mean, if you can shift your mood and elevate it by dancing, great. At the same time, if that emotion keeps coming up, there's something there it's trying to get your attention to and help you understand. And so I think a lot of what's still out there is still trying to power over rather than receive and respect what the guidance is. And that, to me, is how the divine feminine works in all ways. So, yeah.
So what I know you said you had a series of initiations. What does it mean to be a priestess for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, it's really been an honoring of the divine feminine as well as the divine masculine, bringing them into balance, honoring nature, and respecting all aspects of life, seeing life in all things, and deepening my relationship to that from a place of love.
And what is that like on a daily basis? Like, how do you cultivate that on a daily basis?
Yeah, so I really have to be take time to really be attuned. So back when I was like, the ego got a hold of me, it was pushing me, and I had to achieve more. And it was coming, at the time I thought it was coming from a good place of like, oh, I want to help all these people. But it was, again, there was a part of me defining my worth based on that. And so I was just pushing myself. And that is not, I cannot operate that way anymore. I start my day, most days are at least an hour where I start my day honoring and connecting to the divine. So there is a meditation practice. There's an honoring of, I always honor the directions every day, honoring the elements, because I'm so blessed. We are all so blessed to receive these elements and this guidance coming through these energies. And so for me, it's just an honoring of the things that are unseen that often go unnoticed, and really creating a recognition around that, as well as ways that I try to cultivate going inward and connecting with the goddess, with the divine feminine, as really to guide me, because my tendencies and how I was raised have been really masculine focused, and just making sure that the feminine is in balance, and that I also have a healthy masculine, that I've really learned what that is like within my body and within my being. And so it's rather than work, 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 I have to take time out to stop and then recalibrate and make sure I'm honoring myself and honoring this deeper current that is running through me, that wants to work through me, and making sure I'm understanding it, connecting with it, and so forth. And then there's fun ways where, like with the full moon and the new moon, I'm always offering offerings. And to me, that's part of the beauty of celebrating nature and celebrating the shifts in our seasons and so forth.
Which I absolutely love. I think, sadly, at least from my perspective, I feel like sometimes, and I can only speak about America because that's where I'm at. Sometimes I feel like we've lost the sacredness of life. You know, it seems like it's, like you said, it's very masculine, but to like overly masculine, where it is like, you know, the emphasis is on do, on work, 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 achieve, 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 achieve. And we attach that to our self-worth because society does, you know. But I think we lose so much in just, like you said, the stillness and understanding the beauty and watching the cycles of life and even celebrating those changes. You know, but also finding the sacredness of living. I feel like lately for me, that's been a theme is like seeing the magic in everything because it is quite magical, even though there's a lot of horror stories playing out here, but there still is beauty and magic and all of the like unfolding. And I think the divine feminine, I don't know, is a call to that as well.
Absolutely. She has really led me to understand that our humanity is our pathway to our divinity. It is through relating to others and how challenging that can be that I learn more about the ways I'm either connecting or not connecting with love and the divine. And so, what an opportunity to relate to others, because that's when I get to experience the compassion of the divine. That's when I get to experience, empathy and love and all these aspects of the divine that I used to put up here, and and experiencing it within ourselves. That to me has become the whole point. And so I'm still such a student of learning to remember to do that. But that's where I find so much joy. It's like, ooh, I'm like living differently now, and it makes you feel more alive, more expansive, and more like in feeling the divine within. And so again, not always, and yes, I still have negative feelings, right? But like to have that, it feels like it's been such a blessing.
Definitely. And I love that you said our humanity is our pathway to divinity, because a lot of people, I don't think they really look at it like that. You know, like when we're having a human experience, again, you know, we are indoctrinated into a very specific way of thinking and seeing and being in the world, but it's not taught that this experience, this world stage, is a divine experience, regardless of the stories that are playing out. It's actually all divine. And what's that saying? You know, if you want to, you know, want to experience or feel compassion, be compassionate. You know, if you want to feel the kindness, then be kind to other people. You know, and I think that that's kind of, those are like universal truths, but that's all, like you said, it's just the act of, you know, being a kind human. Everything is through this vessel, and it's an expression of divinity.
And I share that, and you were on my podcast. The reason why it's called I'm Perfectly Divine is because it was actually this kind of twist on words, because it was really I used to feel I was imperfectly divine. And so I had to cross off the imperfect and put I'm perfectly divine to recognize myself and everyone really is perfectly divine in our humanity, because it's constantly guiding us. The divine is constantly guiding us to remember the love that we are, even if we're stuck, even if we're fighting it, even for that uncle that you have that drives you crazy or whoever it is. It's like the divine is still working through them, and it may be your opportunity to remember the love that you are, even when you are irritated by them or whatever, and to start to lessen the grip on that and like almost embrace it. Like that's when life becomes kind of playful, because instead of like fighting it and judging it and all this stuff that we do, we can actually like kind of lean into it and just kind of be mad, like in the mess of it, and just like, I don't know, to me it's kind of fun. It's just like, yeah, like that's who you are. There, that's how you're presenting yourself to be. Cool. Now, who am I going to be? Who do I want to relate as with that? Because that, like, that should not change me, right? If I'm really aligned with myself. And so that is the practice. And it's a practice. And sometimes we're good at it and we're there with it. And other times we're, in our working through what we're working through as humans. So it's either way, we're growing, we're learning.
Yes, and I think again, I like that you said it's a practice. You know, it's a constant choice, right? To be a certain way and utilize the tools that you have in front of you. But I think even personally, sometimes there is like this inner resistance because the ego is loud. You know, it can always find tons of excuses for you not to practice or to avoid this, or you know, and there's a lot of resistance to doing things in a very different way as opposed to the way that you were taught. And I'm not sure how many people you've worked with who have this, you know, huge resistance at the beginning to wanting to try something new, believing that it could potentially work for you. It could actually be a better way of, you know, experiencing humanity or, you know, experiencing life in general. How have you dealt with some of the resistance that, you know, some of your clients have had?
Yeah, we name it. We name it. We know. We give them a process, and we know when it's coming. And so it's like, and here it is. And so, but it's always like, I don't expect people to make leaps. I mean, if they do, wonderful. But with emotional empowerment, we're like, just test this other way. Like, dip your toe in it and see how it feels. And what people find is like, ooh, it made a shift. And once we get that buy-in, that, just like me with the shaman, I was like, ooh, my heart's telling me something different here. But, despite the ego, despite all that, that wants to bark at us and say, oh, that's the devil. You can't listen to that resistance. We, that won't work for me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, we know that's there. We know The love of your ego is just trying to protect you. It wants you to be safe. It doesn't want you to hurt and be try something again only to fail, all that stuff. But what if we were to able to just lean into this without that story and give yourself the opportunity of this way and just see how it feels? Just like try it on. And we just get a little bit of buy-in and people that they're like, okay. And so we just keep building on that. And we have like people will be rocking and rolling. And then there's a time where it like the ego will start screaming again because you're right on the cusp of really changing things in your life. And so we're able, it's like we can almost time this out. And so it's interesting. And so it's just like being prepared. Like, what are you going to do when this happens? And so we really try to give them the tools to say, all right, you're going to have a choice. And please know, like I have made the choice back to my ego, and you will still find your way back to love. So it's like we get to mess up, we'll still get there, but we can kind of see how the ego wants to play the game.
Yes, we definitely do. So, Michelle, if people want to work with you or connect to you, how can they find you?
Yes, well, I have a new website, so I'm really excited. So you can check me out at michellebursell.com. It's and I'm sure you'll share the link because people misspell my name. So look at the link. And I think by the time this airs, I'll still have a freebie practice that I'm sharing with people. It's called Chakra Reboot. It's a live experience to help people start to embody the emotional and spiritual to clear kind of anything in their chakras and understand it from an empowered emotional lens. So it'd be wonderful to, if you go to my website, you'll find out more about that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we will also link your show below as well so people can listen to your podcast. And Michelle, I'm so glad that you came today. I loved our conversation and thank you so much for being a guest.
Oh, thank you so much, Deanna. It's been wonderful getting to know you, and I'm grateful for our time together.
Yes, thank you. Everybody, take care. Until next time.